The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey everybody, welcome in. You know, we are in candidate country today, and again, for all the weeks coming up, we're right up to the primary just for you. Primary's on May 21st. Today we have two candidates for your vote for County Commissioner District 1. Please be aware that everyone in the county, if you're getting like a Republican ballot or a Democrat ballot, you get to vote on these guys. I guess it's all the same whether you're Republican or Democrat for county commissioner, right? But anyway, you get to vote. They're the ones that have to live in District 1 to be a candidate, but all God's children get to vote for one or the other. Their names are Brian Domke and Brian Riley. They are seeking your vote, so I'm going to call them with their permission almost from here on out, Riley and Domke, so you can understand who is the candidate that's talking to you. So we have a lot to talk about today. We're going to get to it right after these messages.
Ready for a change of pace? The Washington Air National Guard offers high caliber training in career fields from medical to maintenance and everything in between. Immediately access state tuition assistance and subsidized health insurance, all while serving 1 week in a month, 2 weeks a year. Select jobs eligible for a bonus up to $15,000. Contact your local Air National Guard recruiting at 509-981-3217. The Washington Air National Guard. Build a career, serve your community.
Bondo, you need Bondo.
Bondo will fix the car so you can drive him home.
A Crown Victoria.
Never seen a car with so much chrome. I took it into Anderson's.
Expert paint job, shine like the sun.
Woman now thinks that I am number one.
Anderson's Auto Body.
Let's get something straight.
Is reviewing life insurance on your to-do list? Now's the perfect time to add it. A friend recently told me that securing life insurance sooner rather than later can help you lock in lower rates for years to come. So I bumped this up on my list and got it done. I called SelectQuote and couldn't believe how easy and affordable life insurance is. I'm 40 and got a $500,000 policy for $16 a month. My husband's also 40, and his $500,000 policy was only $18 a month. Plus, with SelectQuote's same-day coverage, there was no medical exam required, and we were covered by the time we hung up. Knowing I have this checked off my list feels amazing, but the peace of mind knowing my family is protected feels even better.
Call SelectQuote at 1-800-280-8787. That's 1-800-280-8787. Or go to SelectQuote.com to get your free quote today. That's 1-800-280-8787. Details on example rate at SelectQuote.com.
Hey, pet parents. With Progressive's collision coverage, you get extra protection for your cat or dog, because there's nothing worse than seeing your pet hurt. Like when you see their face after accidentally stepping on their tail. And vet bills if your pet is injured in an auto accident. Learn more at Progressive.com and watch where you step. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Collision coverage subject to policy terms. Not available in all states.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Is your mower's battery weak or dead after winter storage? Get your mower ready for spring lawn maintenance at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, purchase any SuperStart lawn and garden battery and get a $10 gift card after rebate. Choose SuperStart batteries for power, performance, and reliability exclusively at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
97.1 FM is North Idaho's radio.
Hey, everybody, welcome back in. You know, on the top, I want to correct something that I kind of didn't say at the introduction. The May 21st primary is the Republican primary, and these are two Republican candidates that are sitting before you. They are vying for the District 1 County Commissioner seat, and only one of them is going to get to move forward to the fall general election. So it's your decision. Only one can move forward, Brian Riley, Brian Domke. Here on out, it's Riley and Domke. All right, you guys, welcome in. Thank you for being here today. All right, let's begin with introductions. Brian Riley, I'm going to start with you.
Thank you for the invitation. today to talk to everyone. I'm Brian Riley, and I am running for the District 1 Commissioner seat. I've been in Bonner County a long time. I've been here for 39 years. I've been married to my wife for 27 years now, and we have two children. One's just turned 21, the other one is just about to turn 24, and we all have some things in common as a family. We all went to Sagal Elementary School, we all went to Sandpoint Middle School and Sandpoint High School, and we all graduated Sandpoint High School. Three of us went to North Idaho College, and one went to the Idaho State University, so we've all been in Idaho for a long, long time. I've spent my career in Bonner County. I spent 25 years at Riley Creek / Idaho Forest Group. Of course, it was Riley Creek for until 2008. While I was there, I worked my way into management in 2002, and I was in management until I retired early in 2021, and then I started my own part-time log hauling business, and it's been a great ride in Bonner County, and it's a special place to be. And I'm happy to say that I'm still planning to be here for many, many more years.
All right, Brian Riley, thank you for that. Brian Domke, introduce yourself to the audience, please.
Thank you, Barbara. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. Brian Domke, also running for the Bonner County Commissioner District 1 seat. I moved my family here approximately 10 years ago, and from the beautiful rolling hills and lakes of upstate New York. And we traded that beauty for the beauty and grandeur of North Idaho in Bonner County. We chose to call Bonner County our home because of shared values and a love for the people here. I now want to focus on taking the servant's heart that God has given me and giving even more back to this county that we call home, that we've chose to make our home. In the 10 years that we've lived here, I have 10 years of volunteer service to our community, and I want to expand that into doing more. That 10 years of volunteer service has included 5.5 years with Bonner County Search and Rescue, the volunteer group through the Sheriff's Office, which was formerly Priest Lake Search and Rescue, because we wanted to make sure that our community was safe. After that, I was a volunteer with the Bonner County Natural Resource Committee, and we were focused on giving the county a legal voice and seat at the table with our federal government so that the federal lands that are in our county, we actually can help to establish the policies for the use of those lands. Because there is so much of that land in our county, we want to be sure that we have a seat at the table to help make those decisions. And then the last piece of volunteer work that I did that I think is really critical right now as we look at what's been happening with growth is I was the chairman of the Planning and Zoning Subarea Committee for Priest River Old Town. And we spent 2.5 years working on recommendations for how we can improve our county's comprehensive plan in order to better manage growth, to preserve our rural communities, and to be thoughtful about how we could impact our neighbors if we're not being careful with the use of our land. So those are issues that are near and dear to my heart. And my hope is that if people look at my background of service and then my professional background, which involves having been a vice president, a board member, and a project manager for architecture and engineering firms overseeing public projects, I have that experience, that depth of experience that deals with budgets that are larger within the county's annual budget, and it deals with complex issues of coordination with federal, state, and local agencies. So I believe that if you look at all those different issues and you couple them together, that I have the qualifications, and so I'd hope to be a public servant for our community even beyond what I've already done.
All right, Brian Domke, thank you for that. I'm going to keep it with you for the first question, and you may have already mentioned this issue, but I'm looking for your first priority. I know you've got several, but your top priority to change or strengthen in Bonner County.
My top priority is absolutely to bring respect and trust back to the Board of County Commissioners with our public, with county staff, and with those whom we do business. Without that trust, we're going to continue to struggle to be effective and efficient both with what we're able to accomplish practically and also cost effectiveness with taxpayer dollars. We need to have employees that want to stay as staff in our county. We need to be able to attract new employees who desire to work for a place that they consider to be very competent and a safe work environment. We need to attract quality contractors so that when projects need to get done, that they are desiring to work with us and not concerned. So I think that that's critical as a foundation, and then from there we can focus on more specific issues.
All right, thank you. Riley, first of all, do you agree or disagree that that is like a really top priority, and then we'll get your top priority?
There's portions, of course, that all of us are seeing in regards to needing to bring respect and a better quorum back to the board and the way things are being handled right now, especially when you are the CEO, the elected CEOs of the county, essentially as a board, and you have 18 departments underneath you with their employees looking for guidance and support from you in regards to keeping everything civil and on track for the county. There's a lot of responsibility that goes on with that. So becoming a good leader for all the employees of the county is going to push down into everyone that's voted for us to have better services from those employees. The other big priority of mine, one of my top priorities, of course, is fiscal responsibility with the budget, with the taxpayers' money. Property taxes are a big issue, and they're becoming a bigger and bigger issue with many of the people that I talk to because they're becoming unaffordable. The most prudent way that a commissioner can deal with that is going to be with making sure that we are having the need-to-haves in the county, not the want-to-haves. It's just like running a private business. The big difference between being an elected official and being in a private business and running it with, according to budgets, is you can be fired pretty quickly at a private business if you are letting budgets run out of control and you don't have stopgaps and you're not making sure that all of those monies are being spent correctly and conservatively.
Okay. Do you agree or disagree that that would be, let's say, in your top three, fiscal responsibility, to respond to Candidate Riley's comment about fiscal responsibility? This is Dom Key we're talking to.
Yes, fiscal responsibility is absolutely critical. We have a fiduciary responsibility to the taxpayers. And the taxpayers, the citizens of our county, they are the foundation of our government. They are who we work for and who we serve. And one of the things I think that becomes critical, I agree with, we need to have it be that we lead by example. We be the good example of how we would like others to act and perform. And with that, one of the things that works really well is to begin in a leadership role by establishing clear goals. So we need to do our finding of facts and working with staff and the community to better understand what the issues are and the needs. We then need to have clearly set goals that we are able to get buy-in from the staff that they want to support and work toward those goals. Establish budgets then that are thoughtfully developed to meet those goals. And then from there, continue to work with the staff to help them prioritize and when necessary, reprioritize so that we understand how to spend those budgets as responsibly as possible. And one way to help them do that is actually to help create performance indicators so that we have targets that we're looking to see if we're achieving. And if we're falling short, we assess where the shortcoming is coming from. And then we come up with a recovery plan of how to meet the goals within our budgets.
All right. Keeping it with you, Dom Key, the next topic that's coming for both of you, I'm going to change it up, is do you agree or disagree? What is your opinion about preserving the land that's currently at the fairgrounds and the jail center for a future justice center and an expanded jail? Where do you fall on that debate?
So what I've essentially heard is, do you go with option A or option B? I choose option C. To me, you don't move forward with encumbering land or taxpayer dollars on a project without having a well thought out and thoroughly vetted plan presented and deliberated on and agreed to. And at this point, I do not believe that the RV park was ever presented in a way that was an appropriate and viable business plan that had the background of research and data required to say that was a well-informed and good decision. I can see where limitation of land for a justice center, proximity of needs associated with it, it probably makes a lot of sense to look at that parcel of land. But we need to, I believe, first take a step back, look at the bigger picture of what are all of our needs as a county, as county government, to meet our state statutory obligations. And then, based on prioritizing those needs, we can assess what properties do we hold, where would it be best to use those properties and those other resources, and come up with a long-range plan, then determine, can we have something that's viable to present back to the community? I need to see something that's defensible, that's a solid plan based on facts, before I'll support any such plan.
All right, Brian Domke, thank you for that. Brian Riley, what is your response? What are your thoughts on this future Justice Center fairground debate?
I think anybody that's looked at my Facebook page has already seen that I don't feel that there's enough information to give an opinion on how I feel with that. I have not seen any returns on investment for the taxpayers' dollars. Looking at things right now, there's a lot of questions still to be answered with that. I don't know what the current costs are to have it constructed right now. I know concrete costs keep going up. Contractors' costs keep going up. So everything has changed since it's been discussed in that regard. Attracting employees, right now there's several openings within the county. I believe I've seen 7 on the website alone through the Sheriff's Department. So how many employees are currently with the Sheriff's Department? How many will this increase employees? Will it decrease employees? There needs to be a full analysis done on these things. The other question I would have too that would need to be an analysis would be, what is our cost currently to house an inmate versus what would it be with a new jail to house that inmate? And let's look at this from a business standpoint. Let's look at it as it's our money. We need to be responsible, as I said, as a top priority with the taxpayers' dollars, and we need to make the right decision based on all the facts and the data that we are supplied for, sit down, go through a complete analysis, and then make a factual decision based from there.
All right. Those are the responses from the two candidates regarding the question at the jail, the expanded jail or future justice center versus some kind of an RV park or different use to that land. I'm going to keep it with you, Brian Riley, and I'm going to change the topic again. Do you agree or do you disagree with the concept of open primaries?
I disagree with it. I think we need to start first and understand even if we should be allowing the central committees to even be putting out recommendations from there. My thought is if you're a Republican, you're registered.
It's
Republican,
an initiative.
Okay. Yes. Sorry. I'm going kind of around here.
Okay.
Let's give the voters the choices of the Republicans. We know who we are. Let's look at it. If there's 3 of us as there is in this case, great. Let's go ahead and look at that. Then let's talk about the bigger picture of things. Anytime you start to look at initiatives and go one way or the other, I haven't studied it. I've been looking at the local issues that are affecting us right now in this race. But what I have seen is it's not something I would support.
Okay, so you're saying that you don't support open primaries because Democrats will be able to come in and help select the Republican nominee. That's what a primary is all about, to find a nominee. Is that what you're saying?
Let's leave our primaries for the Republicans
and Democrats for the Democrats.
And let's throw all the Republicans on one, and let's put the Democrats on one and go forward as we are, and let's leave a lot of the endorsements even out of it.
Okay, because I know a lot of people think it's completely reasonable for Democrats to help select a Republican candidate that they like. They get to vote in the fall. All right, same question to you, Brenda. I just find this such an interesting discussion. Anyway, what do you think? What is your opinion on the whole issue of open or closed primaries? Right now we have closed, but there's an initiative for open. What do you think?
I am opposed to open primaries. We have seen where in other nearby states they have used that as a tactic to actually bring in an actual initiative of creating ranked choice voting, which we know means that our votes are really being watered down and we're not able to vote our conscience and be clear about what we're willing to support and what we're not willing to support. And so to me, that's going to be a hard no.
All right, excellent. And perfect timing because we're right up against our next break and we're going to take that right now.
Earth Day bonuses are back at Pacific Steel and Recycling in Ponderay. Monday, April 22nd through Friday, April 26th. Pacific will be celebrating Earth Day all week by paying bonuses on your aluminum, copper, brass, and aluminum cans. We will also be giving away a steel MS-271 chainsaw and a 55-inch Samsung Smart TV. So celebrate Earth Day by cleaning up and turning your metal trash into cash. Pacific Steel and Recycling, located at 1000 Triangle Drive in Ponderay.
Masons, known as Freemasons, belong to the oldest and largest fraternal organization in the world. There are more than 2 million Freemasons in North America. The Masonic Experience encourages members to become better men, husbands, fathers, and citizens. Beyond individual development, Masonry is deeply involved in helping people. Masons of North America contribute over $2 million a day to charitable causes. Also, every Shriner is a Mason, and they operate the largest network of hospitals for burned and orthopedically impaired children in the country. And those fees are never passed down to the patient or family. If you think you may be interested in becoming a Mason, you can begin by contacting a lodge in your area at beafreemason.org. Locally, you'll find lodges in Hayden, Rathdrum, Spirit Lake, Silver Valley, Sandpoint, and Spokane. Masons are men of good character who strive to improve themselves and make the world a better place.
Spring is here. It's time to get your vehicle in tip-top shape. Start by calling Specialty Auto Glass, your auto glass experts, to get that cracked or broken windshield replaced. They're familiar with most insurance companies, so they'll be able to handle the paperwork quickly and efficiently. Their technicians are certified, and they abide by the Auto Glass Safety Council standards. From rock chip repairs to complete windshield replacement, Specialty Auto Glass is the place to go. Visit them just off Highway 95 in Ponderay. Specialty Auto Glass.
Sun Rental Center has been consistently reliable since 1979. Whether you're a large contractor or a homeowner with an important project, Sun Rental Center is your number one call for equipment rental and services. They go the extra mile, offering hourly, daily, weekly, monthly, and longer rental options with industry standard products from John Deere, Doosan, Genie, JLG, MultiQuip, Ditch Witch, Makita, Honda, Steel, and more. Sun Rental Center is open in Sandpoint Monday through Saturday from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Attention Patriots, this is Jason Hansen, former CIA officer, with an urgent message for anyone concerned about their financial future. In a world filled with economic uncertainty, it's crucial to have a rock-solid plan for protecting your wealth. That's why I'm inviting you to a special financial briefing this Thursday. You'll get proven strategies for safeguarding your assets and securing your money. Call my friends at Advantage Gold at 800-741-GOLD to register for free right now. Again, call 800-741-GOLD.
Paid for by Advantage Gold. Performance may vary. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Always consult your financial and tax professional.
Listen live anytime, anywhere with our new website, NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Okay, we left off with Brian Domke. We have two candidates here for County Commissioner District 1. They're both Republicans. They're both vying for your vote. And you know what, guys? Only one of these fine gentlemen can win. It's up to you to decide who moves forward into the fall. That's May 21st. That's primary day. You get to decide. So, Brian Domke, what can county commissioners do to control growth in our area? Not in a bad way, but to ensure services and infrastructure. And people are concerned about this. What do you think?
Absolutely. It's a very concerning and important topic. So first and foremost, we start with our comprehensive plan. And we do a better job of amending that comprehensive plan so that we can be more thoughtful about doing real quality assessments of the existing, you know, boots on the ground, on-site conditions, whether it comes down to soil conditions, groundwater, the capability to accommodate septic systems. We need to consider all of these factors and then determine also where is the land that we need to be thoughtful about preserving for our future generations to continue with agriculture and other important uses. Understand, as you were saying, where is our key infrastructure that has the ability to be expanded and enlarged in a fiscally responsible way, and then target which areas can support more growth, but still be thoughtful about what density the land has the capacity to carry.
Let me ask a quick follow-up. I'm losing my voice. Is this God telling me not to talk? Anyway, what practically can county commissioners do?
So from a practical perspective, first and foremost, the county commissioners appoint the members to the planning commission. The planning commission is tasked with doing really all of the homework and the day-to-day tasks, working with planning department staff of the county in order to propose amendments to the comprehensive plan. The county commissioners then are the board who ultimately makes the legal decision as to whether to adopt changes to our county comprehensive plan. The policies written in our county comprehensive plan then, by state statute, are to become the basis for updating, amending, removing, making any changes to our land use regulations within our county code. And so it's a very direct application of the authority of the Board of Commissioners to our land use regulations in the end.
If I can talk, oh, there I am. Brian Riley, the same question. What can you as a county commissioner do to address, I think, some legitimate concerns about growth?
There are a lot of legitimate concerns about growth that are out there. A little bit of history going into this as well. We talked about this quite a bit 2 years ago also. And the Planning Commission has taken the community plans that have been developed, and they are working on the new plan for the county. And Brian, I don't know if you've had an opportunity, but I have gone in and I've sat in on their meetings, and they are using the community plans to draft this. They are, I would say, 90% finished with the plan going forward, and this is the first time it's been reviewed in close to 20 years. They're doing a great job. There's a fantastic group that is looking at the plans. The Sagal plan, for one, that's where I'm from. They've gone through, and as they're doing these land use determinations, they're looking at what is available for properties. How many years worth of parcels are there currently to look at from there? And then, of course, there's ordinances that have been put in place beyond that, with the current board or past boards that fall into that. So it's going to be good for whoever takes the board this next time that we have an updated plan to reference back to and follow the state statutes, because a county commissioner has to do what is lawful underneath that. And if the community has given that input and it has gone to the commissioners by then, any time of these items are looked at, it doesn't go straight to a commissioner. It goes through the planning department. Right. So it gets several approvals through there. And by the time it gets to the commissioner, all the T's should have been crossed, the I's dotted, and the commissioner should be looking at it saying, yes, this is lawful, or no, here's a reason that it is not fitting the law. And then at that point, you say no or yes based on that data.
You know, an updated comp plan is the wheel moves slowly. A quick follow-up question, then Domke to you for this.
I would like to respond.
Respond. All right, respond directly to that then, what
okay,
he said.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
I am going to disagree in that I've been tracking the changes to each of the components of the comprehensive plan that have been going on for about 18 months now, I'd say. And there are a number of aspects, I believe, where we have five sub-area committees that offered recommendations for improvement. And while I do understand, and I know that it's true that the current Planning Commission has looked at and considered that information, I believe a lot of the good ideas that were contained in those documents are not making it forward into the actual changes. So I have a different perspective on that. I think we can do better. And I'll give a simple example, but I think it's profound when we consider the impact. One of the components of the county's comprehensive plan has to do with public services and utilities. And regarding that component, I believe it's three out of five, at least two out of the five sub-area committees offered suggested language about being sure that we're safeguarding our community members, our neighborhoods, from potential hazards and harm that can be caused, say, if you have a 5G cell tower located too close to somebody's home, to a residential area. And so our sub-area committees thoughtfully included language about how to help protect our citizens from that potential harm. The then final recommendation of that chapter or component of the comprehensive plan that was presented to the Board of County Commissioners for approval a few months ago neglected to mention our telecommunication towers anywhere in that. I, as one member of the public, actually wrote public comment before that public hearing by the Board of Commissioners and suggested that it be important that they include that that recommended language in some version.
Okay.
And they chose not to do so. They even stated, some of the Planning Commission members at that public hearing stated that a telecommunication tower was not a public utility. After the meeting, I sent the Planning Department and the Board of County Commissioners the exact language from state statute that clearly defines telecommunication towers as a public utility. So,
all right. Let's take it back to Brian Riley. Kit, do you believe that as county commissioner you could move assertively and quickly to require developers to absorb like all of the developing costs, whether it's ensuring access for fire, water, ambulance, whatever the issues are, that they are going to take care of widening the roads and whatever, all of that?
Let me ask one more question, Brian, if you would, on the last one, because I was at the same hearing.
Yeah, go ahead.
And if I remember correctly, there was also discussion as what fell under FAA regulations in regard to the cell towers, and also where a lot of these are placed are on large parcels of private property as well, the 5G towers, and that is helping a lot of the large landowners be able to afford the taxes and to maintain those properties without having to break them apart and sell parcels of them. And I think that was also covered during that hearing and it was discussed. And it's, I've been asked that question before as it came up. And I know you were one of the proponents of limiting that, as I understand it, where the cell towers are. But as we all know, currently within our county, communications are an issue, or lack thereof communication, I should say, is an issue. Depending on where you are, there are still places in our county that have issues finding emergency services because they don't have cell coverage. And it's a large grand scale. And I know it has been discussed. I know it's been to hearings as far as those are. And
yeah, I'll be happy to respond. So I think you were referencing the FCC. And
sorry, yes.
Absolutely. The FCC is the federal authority when it comes to those frequencies and how they're distributed and used and what power and density. But the FCC has also carved out an area that allows local municipalities to add additional guidance and restrictions exactly for these purposes to help protect our communities. And so that's an established part of those rules. The other component is, I agree that, you know, we need to think about safety and we need to think about, you know, coverages, but that's why there is documented evidence that's actually now passed through courts that show us what levels are considered safe at what frequencies, what, you know, what level of power, proximity. And so it's not that we're trying to say we can't, we're trying to say we need to do it in a thoughtful, responsible way so we don't cause harm. And one other component of that is that, for example, this is happening in the Elmira area right now with a proposed cell tower. Our current land use regulations have what's called a conditional use permit. So the only way to have a cell tower installed in our county right now is to get approval through a conditional use permit. Our county regulations say that in order for a decision to be made as to whether or not to actually approve a conditional use permit, that one of the considerations is, will harm be caused based on how it's defined in our comprehensive plan. Mm. But because our comprehensive plan has chosen to be silent on the issue, we have no protection to afford our residents should they want to say, we're not sure this is a good idea. We'd like to challenge if this decision is appropriate and if we can use findings of fact to determine if it would be safe or if it would be harmful. And so we need to fix those gaps in our current land use regulations and in our comprehensive plan, because we've created a loophole. We need to close it.
You know, we're on a topic that I'm surprised didn't
it wasn't like number one of all that I talked to people about. This is their number one issue. Yeah, they're concerned about respectful meetings and people getting thrown out. They're concerned about budgets and property taxes. But land use and growth in the county is like number one. Let me ask a quick follow-up question. It'll be for both of you. Our comprehensive plan has not been updated for 20 years and it's grinding away. Can the county commissioners just go in and in this one area for land use for cell towers, just to use that as an example, because that's not my number one issue, but for land use for cell towers, can that not be updated discreetly by, instead of, you know, wait for the whole plan to emerge, just go in and take care of this one item? Yes or no? Brian Donkey.
Yes. Yes, the Board of County Commissioners, as a board, has the authority to go back and amend, or I should say move forward and amend, mm-hmm. any component of the comprehensive plan at any time. There's no, to my knowledge, there's no legal limitation. We want to be thoughtful, of course, about being efficient with tax dollars. But if the process has been done in a way that was incomplete or incorrect, we have a duty to fix it. So, yes, we can move forward with correcting an individual item or an entire chapter or the entire plan as the Board of County Commissioners so directs.
Okay, same question, Brian Riley. What about going in discreetly and taking care of some of these comprehensive plan issues while the big plan review grinds forward?
Discreetly bothers me. When you're doing that, that can be looked as you're not being honest and upfront with what you're doing.
Well, discreet in the sense of a targeted laser to this issue.
There's a committee
not
that
secret.
Okay. There's a committee that's been put together to look at these community plans. They're going through hearings. They're listening to what's being said already by the communities. If people attend the hearings, if you have those concerns, get in front of it now. It is not completed. Let's get this finished. Let's get it put to bed, and let's move forward. Like I said, I believe, Brian, you were the one that spoke at that hearing. I don't believe there was anyone else in that specific hearing that I remember speaking about that.
There was another person, yes.
Was there one other person? Okay. So, oh. Yeah. But let's deal with it now before this gets completed. It's been 20 years. Let's get past this and move forward.
What about developer fees? Real quick, we have to go to a break. I'll get to both of you. Yeah. Developer fees, can we go move forward more assertively that they are somewhat limited and slowed down because it's going to cost some more money?
We're essentially talking about impact fees at that point and
yes.
and wanting to look at that. And that needs to be looked at. Let's take a peek as an example. What's happening out on Whiskey Jack Road right now with bridges and traffic on the road itself, and then you get out to Whiskey Jack Circle. And something will need to be done there with a wooden bridge that is a low-weight, limited bridge that's going to need to handle the new traffic. There's also only one ingress and egress from that new development in that area. That is something that if developers are putting in developments such as that, they need to be looking at. They need to be coming out with They need to be, and there needs to be pushback on them to do that before this all happens. All right. I can't speak if they are now or not because I'm not on the board.
All right, Brian Donkey, same question real quick. We have to go on a break.
Absolutely. We need to thoroughly consider how impact fees are looked at, and we need to just be sure that in the end, we have the right approach, though. So we've identified up front in our process what infrastructure is required before we approve one of these new developments, and then we have legal requirements built in so that when somebody moves forward with that development, the impacts have already been considered, the fees have already been defined. We need to be fair to those that want to do the development so that they can do a good job and understand the rules that they're playing under, and then not have it cause harm and have unnecessary costs borne by their neighbors.
Or anyone in Bonner County. All right, that's it. We're going to take a break. That's our last one. We're going to do that right now.
Don't miss the Bridges Home Trio reunion concert on Friday, April 26th at the Panada Theater. This very special night of music marks the first public performance for the group in more than 3 years. And every cent raised will go to benefit local Food for Our Children to help feed hungry kids in our community. Tickets are $15, available in advance at Jalapeno's Restaurant or online at foodforourchildren.org. Doors at 6, show starts at 7, Friday, April 26. Bridges Home Trio at the Panada Theater.
AGE Heating and Cooling is the only independent, local, family-owned Lennox Premier dealer in Sandpoint. Right now, when you buy a new qualifying Lennox system, get up to $1,700 in rebates. Qualified buyers make no payments and add no interest for 12 months when financing a new Lennox system. And don't forget about $2,600 in federal tax credits. Go online, ageheatingandcooling.com. Let us make your air perfect. Conditions apply. See dealer for details. Dealer's license ID and HVAC contractor's license 059041.
If it's been a while since you visited Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet, you need to get in there. They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, ammo and knives, jewelry, ReadyWise foods, and more. They stock items that you won't find anywhere else in our area. They buy, sell, and trade. Open weekdays, located on Triangle Drive just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet.
Is reviewing life insurance on your to-do list? Now's the perfect time to add it. A friend recently told me that securing life insurance sooner rather than later can help you lock in lower rates for years to come. So I bumped this up on my list and got it done. I called SelectQuote and couldn't believe how easy and affordable life insurance is. I'm 40 and got a $500,000 policy for $16 a month. My husband's also 40, and his $500,000 policy was only $18 a month. Plus, with SelectQuote's same-day coverage, there was no medical exam required, and we were covered by the time we hung up. Knowing I have this checked off my list feels amazing, but the peace of mind knowing my family is protected feels even better.
Call SelectQuote at 1-800-280-8787. That's 1-800-280-8787. Or go to SelectQuote.com to get your free quote today. That's 1-800-280-8787. Details on example rate at SelectQuote.com.
Are you the parent of a 2 to 7-year-old? Listen closely for an exciting free radio offer. By now, you've probably heard of ABC Mouse, the Parents' Choice Award-winning online learning program that's actually changing the lives of early learners everywhere.
ABC Mouse is like a little one-on-one teacher. It has helped her so much.
Right now, we're offering a special radio promo to try it free for a month. But you have to go to abcmouse.com/radio to claim your free month. That's abcmouse.com/radio. Sponsored by Age of Learning.
North Idaho's Radio, 1450 AM and 97.1 FM.
All right, everyone, welcome back in. We're talking with two candidates today. They're both running for the same seat on Bonner County Commission to be the nominee to run in the fall general election. It's District 1 County Commissioner. We have Brian Riley and Brian Domke here talking to you. So back to you, Brian Riley.
Okay.
And introduce another topic that's high on your priority list as a county commissioner.
It ties back into the infrastructure portion of it. It's something that in the Sago and the southern area of the county has been talked about quite a bit now since November, and that is going to be the new changes to Highway 95 between Dufert Road and the Long Bridge. It had been fairly quiet the last few weeks, but over the weekend, I was approached several times with that. And while it is a state project going through, there are things that can be done to question this and ask those questions through the county office, because it's going to affect us. Every one of the frontage roads that comes out at some point will be turned over to the county road department. So that's going to require additional funds to maintain those roads. The other question now that is coming up is exactly where that route is going to go. That is what's been flooding social medias this weekend. I've been asked by a few people. They're talking about taking out homes for this. They're talking about taking out agricultural fields, and it is a concern for many.
Quick question.
Yes.
As county commissioners, what can you do about this? If you're elected, what can you reasonably do? And then we'll get to you, Brian Donkey.
One of the reasonable things that a county commissioner can do is sit down and request to know the additional amount of county roads that will need to be maintained. What is that cost going to be to the county moving forward? Start with that, and then look at the other aspects of it as far as what the communities are wanting. Help your community. Get out there and talk to your community. Understand what their concerns are and sit down and talk. Set up meetings. Get back to the community. We represent the community as a commissioner, and we need people to trust that we are there for them.
Right.
I know currently when I leave here today, I'm going to go meet with another homeowner. I've been on the phone with them each of the last 2 days because they're greatly affected by this, and they should be, as well as everybody that is around there with large tracts of land that are going to be affected by frontage roads or this highway if it goes through. So let's talk about it now, and let's get support for those people.
All right. Thank you. Brian Domke, agree or disagree that that's a big deal, and introduce your own another top priority for you. And we're a little bit running out of time.
Absolutely agree. It is a very important issue. It'll have a significant impact on numerous families in the community in Sagal, and it will absolutely have an impact on infrastructure, and that's something that is not currently accounted for in the comprehensive plan because we didn't know what they were going to propose. So those would need to be reevaluated, but I agree that we really need to rally together with our community members. We need to collect good data. The Board of County Commissioners already has a relationship with the Idaho Transportation Department. They have regular coordination meetings. That meeting could be leveraged to help bring forward ideas and help build communication around this particular issue, this topic. And we really need to be able to understand, you know, what would the impact be? How can whatever the state is claiming they're going to accomplish with this project, how can we determine to have the least amount of impact on our community in doing so? And I still question the overall thinking. We need to take a step back and say, you know, if you're not planning to widen the Long Bridge, which to my understanding I've heard no proposal for that, Then we're still going to have a bottleneck. So I don't understand how having 70-mile-per-hour traffic that comes to a screeching halt to come back down to single lanes to go across the Long Bridge is going to have a meaningful impact. So I say this project doesn't make sense. We need to figure out why it's even being considered and advocate at the state level.
Okay. Briefly, a top priority, just one. Honestly,
I'll try to be as fast as I can.
Really so fast.
I'm passionate about medical freedom. In our post-COVID world, I think it's critical.
What does that mean, real quick?
What it means is that each person has the God-given, inalienable right to decide what medical treatments they do or don't receive.
Like vaccines.
Like vaccinations, like forced testing and forced masking. I do not support any of those things.
Okay. Is that a big deal for you, Brian Riley? Do you agree or disagree?
I'm sure both of you have heard me say this before, that myself personally, I do not like to put those types of substances in my body, so I am not one that's going to support forcing it. However, if a business owner or a community member or neighbor asks me to put something on when I go onto their property or in their house, I'm going to be respectful if I don't want to.
All right, 30 seconds to say goodbye. I'm going to keep it with you, Brian Riley. Say goodbye to the audience.
Well, thank you again for listening this afternoon. This is Brian Riley. I am running for the District 1 commissioner seat. Those who know me, I'm sure, know I'm honest. I approach everything with facts and data in hand, and I don't just make any emotional decisions. So again, Brian Riley for District 1.
All right. Thank you, Brian Riley. Brian Domke, 30 seconds to say goodbye.
Thank you for this opportunity today. I am absolutely passionate about sharing and supporting the values of our local conservative rural community. I have a 10-year track record of supporting that as a volunteer within our county government as well. So I'm asking that you vote for me so that I can become an even larger public servant to help our community.
Thank you, Brian Domke, Brian Riley. Come on back next week, County Commissioner candidates, District 3, Ron Koren, Luke Ahmet, and Dmitry Borisov will be right here all for you. Until then, this is Barbara saying goodbye. Take care of yourself, register to vote, and may God richly bless you, my friends.